The Lord spoke to me about looking at and speaking about Jude, the book of Jude. So I want us to look at some themes from the book of Jude over this time. And one of the things I felt that God wanted to encourage us with was about reconnecting and refocusing and taking our walk with God to a new level, and to letting his life and his blessing touch us to a deeper and new degree. And as I said, this year, as we're starting in 2017, it's like a rededication again of our lives to God. And I really would like us to do that, as I said, to come again, and maybe at the end of the service we'll come up here just as a sign of, yes, Lord, I want to rededicate and give my life back to you. And because we do, don't we? We desire a deeper work of God taking place in our life, don't we? Yes. And you know what God does in us? It doesn't just transform us, but actually it means that we are going to be greater witnesses. We're going to be greater in influencing and loving and more merciful, and we're going to have more of God's heart and character in us to be able to give out to others as well. So I wanted to read Jude 1, 17 to 25, and just look, this isn't going to be a long message today. Can you all say amen to that? Fantastic. Okay. but there are some amazing truths here in this very small letter, but some amazing truths. So this is Jude 1, and this is 17 to 25. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you that in the last times there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Wow! What an amazing verse. Some of the themes of Jude, I just want to read out to you because they are so important for us. So in Jude, the emphasis is to protect and defend the gospel. We went with our friends, David and Carmel, they've gone out. Well, I took them down to the parish church and to go there and to show visitors around and say that some of this church here in the town is over 1,000 years old. It's got an incredible history. And there were two ladies in there who just showed us around. They had activity sheets for the kids, and they showed them around, and they went round and they did the activities, and they gave us such a great welcome. But the lady that I was talking to, she said, you know, the only hope for this world is the love of God. It is the gospel. And I thought, yeah, you go for it, lady. She's all of these visitors. And but it's true, isn't it? The gospel is the only hope. The gospel is a life-changing, radical, passionate message that God has given to us. Where would we be? What would we be doing if it wasn't for the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's no other way that we can have relationship with the Father except through Jesus. That's the gospel. The gospel is the only hope for this world. And, you know, there are things coming against the gospel, and God has put us here upon the earth, and there are times where we will need to defend the gospel and protect it. So that's one of the themes of Jude, accepting the lordship of Jesus. Again, that is so much under attack in this society and this generation that we're living in. Oh, who is Jesus? Accepting the lordship of Jesus. Recognizing the danger and heresy of false teachers. There's an encouragement, number four, to practice the faith in everyday living. So it isn't just something that we do when we come to church, but it's real, authentic Christian living that Jude is encouraging us to embrace. That's what we want to be, isn't it? We want to be those that are living like that every day, living passionately for God. And fifthly, share, witness, and to show love to those who don't know Jesus. So those are some of the themes. And as I read those, I thought, wow, there's so much for us as a church, for us to take on board and embrace this coming year. As I was reading the scriptures, something that the Holy Spirit just spoke to me about. And it was that verse there in verse 25 where it's written, to the only God, to the only God. Some say to the only wise God. Some versions say to the only true God. But that statement there, to the only God. You see, to Jude, it was a revelation. He knew Jesus well, but he'd come to an understanding that this Jesus was the one true living God. And you know, that's a revelation that each and every single one of us here in this room need to come to a realization of, that we worship the one true living God. Have you settled that in your heart? Because there are many other religions, many other philosophies, many other ways, many other voices that are trying to come in. And you know, sometimes we give too much time to those other voices that come in and bring distraction and bring things into our lives actually that we don't need. And I want to encourage you, don't let those voices be an influence this year. Settle it in our heart. There is to the one true living God, to the only wise God, our Savior. And there is only one way that we can have relationship with our Father in heaven. That is by coming and accepting relationship with Jesus, accepting what he has done for us on our behalf on the cross. He went through death so that we wouldn't have to die. He took upon himself the sins of the world so that our sins could be forgiven. He did it all in our place so that we don't even have to do anything other than put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. To the only one true God. So my first question is to you, have you settled it in your heart? Have we grown cold or just taken our eyes off God or somehow been listening to other voices? Because I want to say again, be like Jude and be so absolutely definite. That's what he's saying. To the only God, to the only wise God. I've seen it, he's saying. And he's the one I want to follow. Are you understanding? I don't know if I'm conveying this because you're all looking at me. Yes. But settle it. It's important that we see that the God we worship as our all in all. No one is greater. No one is more worthy of our dedication other than him. He is now what Scripture reveals him to be. All other faiths, religions, philosophies, they're not the way. Isn't our God amazing? Isn't our God amazing? He is glorious, full of love, merciful, kind, compassionate. And we could go on, and we could go on, and we could go on listing his characteristics. He is an incredible God. And so I want to say this morning, let's not fall away. Let's rededicate ourselves again afresh to the only wise God, our Savior, to the only one true God. This is the way that I want to go this year. And in line with that, you know, prayer, and it's something that was highlighted at the meeting that we had about this idea of how prayer actually keeps us grounded and linked in to God. Now, that might sound an obvious thing, but sometimes we can think of just as prayer as just an action that we do, that where we just bring our requests and our petitions and our supplications to God. That is an aspect of prayer. But a big part of what I want to talk about now is that you and I need prayer to keep us connected to God in relationship. And so this morning, I don't want to talk about, oh, you need to come to another prayer meeting necessarily. But I want to talk to you about the importance of what prayer is in your relationship with God and keeping you linked in with God, so that next year we're celebrating together that you've run the race, that you've done well, and that we haven't kind of just backslidden into some kind of complacent place of just, ugh. But we've been connected into God. We've been praying. We've been intimate. We've been hearing Him. We've been taking time with Him. And that has strengthened and linked us and kept us in relationship with Him. Pray. Just why don't you just turn to your... Guys, pray in your private time with God. Pray every day over your word. Get your families together and pray together. Read the Bible together. Have devotions together. You know, our family, we know what it's like. Family life can be chaotic. You got people coming and going and people doing this and doing that. And you gather people together and you have a meal together. And it's just like a farmyard sometimes. Okay, your family may be different. But I want to say it's important to put God, make God the center. Make God the center of your families. Find a devotion or even if it's just a few minutes, even before the kids dash off to school, get them together. Ali and I were talking about this morning. Get them together to pray. Dedicate the day. Make the day dedicated to God. You can do it. Ali and I can do it. Not because I'm the pastor of the church, but because I want to model something to my children. And you know what how we live, we don't realize it, but we're modeling continually to our children, and they are going to grow up doing what you are doing to them, if that makes sense. So we have time. Let's model to our children how we can pray together as a family. And if you're grandparents, model to your children, your grandchildren. Pray together as husbands and wives. I remember before I got married, I was talking to a friend of mine. And I said, of course, you and your wife, you know, you must be easy to pray together. And he looked at me and he said, actually, it's probably one of the most difficult things that we have in our marriage. My mouth almost dropped open. You know, sometimes things need to be worked at. And if it's difficult to pray with your husband and wife, I want to encourage you at the beginning of this year, make it a priority. Sometimes it is difficult, if we're honest, but let's make it a priority. Give time. Pray in your life groups. Come and join us at the 10 o'clock meeting that we have here before the service. Anybody is welcome. Come and join us. Come, as Brian was saying, to pray at the Connect meeting. But I want to, this is not about coming to a prayer meeting. This is about us as a church seeing the value of prayer and seeing that actually it's so much more than just, oh, I've got to give 10 minutes of prayer a day because Steve got up there and spoke to me about it. It's about you connecting with God. It's something that's going to sustain you in your relationship with God, and it's going to do great things in your life with Him. So I want to ask you, and please don't anybody put up your hands, but how is your prayer life? What are you praying for and over for this year that's coming? What things are you asking God for? What things have you read in God's word that you've thought, yes, wow, I want that dynamic in my life. I want that particular aspect to be taking place in my family. Have you got any dreams, hopes, visions, desires for this year that you're praying over? What part of God's purpose has captured your imagination that you want to take hold of and apply in your life this year? I want us to stir up that passion for prayer. Oh, not a prayer meeting. A passion for prayer because it's about relationship. Just turn to somebody else and say, it's about relationship. This is what I'm, are you understanding what I'm talking about? This is having a regular, intimate, daily time with God in prayer, meeting with Him is what the Bible is, and we're going to look at this, is what is going to be part of the sustaining power. Brian was saying that R.T. Kendall, you heard of R.T. Kendall? He was saying that I think he made a statement like this, that prayer is the powerhouse of the church. And he used to go down to the boiler room and pray in the boiler room of the church, because he knew that it was prayer that was going to just give the power to the church. Again, I'm not talking about saying we've got to come to more meetings, because I was talking to Ian this morning, it was, you know, where two or three are gathered, God is where? He's there. But you know, there's something when we get a revelation about prayer, that we want to come together, we want to pray, we want to prophesy, we want to speak into each other's lives, we want to encourage each other. So I hope you're getting my heart. You know, so many things in our lives, so many good things are squeezed out by frivolous activity. Would you agree with that? All of us should agree with that, because that is the reality. You know, if we want to get here for the 10 o'clock prayer meeting, it means actually that we will have to think about it. Again, I know what it's like, because, and I never realized this dynamic of how you can step out of your home and then your children say, I need to go to the loo. And it's like, well, why didn't you do that when we were, I'm in that zone at the moment, okay? But, so we need to think about and plan if we want to make things, whatever they are, whether it's prayer or whatever it is, whether it's something even, you know, outside of the church, whatever it is, we need to make things a priority, which means we need to plan. Yes? So it means probably getting up 10 minutes early, having breakfast 10 minutes early, which means leaving 10 minutes early, which means we arrive 10 minutes early. Wow. It's not rocket science. It really is not. But you know what happens is that we just get caught up with all kinds of frivolous things. And some of those frivolous things actually suck actually what is important or takes time in our lives. Or am I the only one? I didn't hear what you said, but anyway, well, I'm not having any heckling. Right? What was that? Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. So the encouragement for us is to pray. You know, I think prayer, in one sense, is a mystery, because God wants us to pray, yet we know that He knows all things. He knows all things. He's infallible, He's holy, He's perfect. He knows the beginning from the end, yet He wants us to pray. And sometimes when we pray, things change. But all I can say is that God wants your involvement. And He wants you to be faithful. And He wants you to pray. He loves to hear your heart. He loves to have communion with us and to have those times of intimacy. You know, when you pray, it says building yourselves up in the most holy faith. And so I want to say, if you're feeling down and discouraged, what am I going to tell you to do? The Bible says that when we pray in tongues, we edify, we encourage, we build ourselves up. Oh, but I'm feeling... Pray. Pray. Sometimes we don't see prayer necessarily as the solution, but there's so much power in praying, encouraging ourselves, building ourselves up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a gift that's been given to us. So I want to say, use it, because as you do that day upon day upon day, your relationship with God is going to become even stronger. If you don't think your relationship can become strong, I tell you, it can. It can become much, much stronger and secure. So it's not about doing it because I'm telling you. This is what the word, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. And so it says there that there's a lot in the word of God that talks about us doing stuff. It says that 1 Timothy 6 and 12 and 1 Timothy 4 and 8 talks about fight the good fight and run the race. Keep the faith. Endure to the end so that you can be saved. Things that we need to do. So in verses 21 to 21, it says, so you build yourself up. You pray. You keep yourself. You know, there's only so much that I can do as the pastor. There's only so much that your life group leader can do. There's only so much that your best friend can do. There's only so much that your husband or your wife can do. However much those around you love you, you pray. You do it. You get in that secret place and pray. And you know what the outcome is going to be? Wow, you are going to be increasingly strengthened in your relationship with Him. God wants to hear our prayers and bring out, yes, our supplications and our thoughts to God. But I'm talking about how it's going to affect this, how it's going to affect you. Are you with me? So if you need encouragement, pray. If you feel weak, pray, and it will build you up. In verse 1 of Jude, it says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus. Can everybody say kept? Because I've got some good news. It's not about you struggling on your own, trying to make it through. I just hope that I've got enough energy to get through the week. God help me. Because the Bible there says that you're kept and sustained by someone. You don't have to fend for yourself. And you know, it says in verse 24 and 25, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. So there is one who is watching over you, who the Bible says is keeping you. You're kept. You're kept. And who's the one that is keeping you? Almighty God, His Father, Father God. Isn't it? You know, this year I want to break out into a new degree of loving life and experiencing life. And I'm praying that for each and every one of you to understand the depth, actually, that I'm kept by God. He's the one who's watching over me. Actually, if He's the one that's keeping me and watching over me, then actually I don't need to fear. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be concerned. He has got me, and that hand can never fail. That hand can never drop me. And That's the certainty, isn't it, that we have? Ephesians 10 says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. So God has got great plans for you. Whether you believe it or not, God believes it for you. Yeah, but I'm nothing. No, God believes it. Yeah, but I haven't done. God believes it. Yes, but I can't. No, God believes it. Yes, but I shouldn't. No, God believes it. He said it. He's got great plans for you. I mean, you can say all that you want. But when God looks at you, he sees gold. He sees potential. He says, wow. What plans I have for Pete. You're just there, Pete, looking at me. So you're, what plans I have for Pete. Wow. Incredible. What God wants to do. So, should we pray? Yes. But if God knows everything, should we just sit back? Don't sit back. And just say, well, what will be, will be. You understand? That's not the life of a Christian. Press in to God. Press in to relationship with him. Bring your requests. Bring your supplications. Bring your love. Bring your praise. Bring your thanksgiving. Bring it to him. Bring those things that are on your heart to him. Don't sit back and just say, well, the grace and the mercy of God will just cover everything. Press in to God. Don't take God for granted. Verse 20 and 21 of Jude, it says that this prayer is one of the ways that we're to build ourselves up in the love of God. You, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Shortened down, it says, by praying, keep yourselves in the love of God. By praying, keep yourselves in the love of God. By praying, keep yourselves in the love of God, in the will of God, in the purpose of God. Don't want to step out of that place, but I want to remain in that place. I want to remain in the love of God, listening to him, hearing from him, being guided by him. Can you see how powerful that prayer is? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. You know what it's like when you take time and things happen and you don't pray for some time and you're kind of like, oh my goodness. God, where are you? You had those times. I think probably all of us have had those times. Praying, keeping yourself in the love of God. Prayer isn't a duty, but it's a means to a deeper life with God. Luke 21, I'm just going to draw to a close. Luke 21, verse 36. It says, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, Jesus is coming back, isn't he? That was not a trick question. You should have been a bit, that should have been a bit easier to answer. Okay, I'll try again. Jesus is coming back, yes? And is coming back for a beautiful, spotless, pure, blemish-free, just like me. He's coming back for a beautiful bride, his church. And you know, we're part of that. He's coming back. You know, one of the things that's going to keep us secure and ready for when Jesus is going to come back is that time of intimacy with him, of prayer, of our prayer life and the depth of it with him. Next week, I want to carry on talking about prayer and what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit, what it means to have a deeper prayer life in the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that next week. One of the things that I'd like us to do as a church is to have a week where we as a church come together and we have a time of fasting in February next month, just for a week. So that could be that some people say, actually, yeah, I'm going to fast for a day, or I'm going to fast for one meal a day, or I'm going to take the whole week out. But as us coming together and saying, God, I want to rededicate my life and I want to create time. Because like I said, if we don't plan, then actually things life just gets busy. So what I'd like to do that, call our church to come and just for a week to take time to pray and to fast together. I'm not going to ask if that's a good idea, because we're going to do it anyway. But yeah, would you do that? And you personally can decide with your family or yourself what you want to do, what that looks like, okay? But it's important to use that time as a time to get aside and to pray, because the result of that is that your life is going to be more deeply strengthened and connected to God. And I desire that nobody here falls away or gets discouraged or backslides, or we get to the end of the year and say, oh, it's a shame that so-and-so. I want to see us flying in God, so strong in Him, so encouraged, so built up, so powerful in Him. And, you know, that's going to come through us spending that time with Him.